Welcome to another episode of the 151 Collective. I am your co-host, Zachmo, a.k.a. Fuck, I didn't think of anything. What are these? A.k.a. Diabetes. Go ahead.
I'm your co-host, Collector, a.k.a. MagSafe.
MagSafe.
Yeah, I got a little MagSafe. Pop socket, MagSafe pop socket thing with Gengar on it right in front of me. So that's what I thought of.
Well, welcome, everybody. We took a week's hiatus because somebody runs a business and got busy. And I was very tired.
What is that? What? Why did we have to take off last week?
You had crazy amounts of grading. I was working alone all week, and I was already tired by Tuesday.
Yeah, I guess it was grading.
It was, because you told me you were grading like crazy.
Yeah, I graded I did all the grading. This week's grading, I did about 50% of it last night, and the rest is like...
Ooh, which reminds me, I'd like to ask a question about that, but we will get to that later on when I ask that question.
Yeah.
So since we took a week's hiatus, well, why don't you tell us about your collecting in the past 2 weeks? We can do 2 weeks. You can say 1 week. Why don't you just tell me about collecting?
Past couple weeks of collecting, what did I get for myself? I got no new Gengar slabs, sadly.
Wow, what a loser.
I don't remember if I talked about having to sell a Gengar slab, but I had to. I didn't have to, but I chose to.
Not like when you made me sell my 151 master.
No, you had to. Different than that. So not soapboxy at all. That's not what my intention is here, but just to explain what happens. Basically, when you sell on TikTok Shop, which is what I do. Everybody knows that, but I sell on TikTok Shop. The payout structure is very funky. So I do all my sales Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, package everything up, ship it out on Monday. I don't get paid for everything I sold for roughly 7 to 10 days. So what ended up happening was I had a couple of weeks back to back where sales just like totally exceeded my expectations and what I had prepared for. And I had to restock on product, but TikTok still had all the money. And so I sold a very expensive Gengar slab to restock on product. Eventually,
was there any hiccups when they banned it for the day?
Financially, no.
That's pretty dope. All
right. So there's like a separate app called, like if you have an account on TikTok, selling account on TikTok, there's an app called the Seller Center. And you only get that if you're like approved as an official TikTok shop. Mm-hmm. So that app never went down. I still had full access to everything. There was an hour maybe where it was really buggy and I couldn't create shipping manifests or shipping labels, but generally speaking, that app was completely fine. All the features still worked fine.
That's good.
So I had to sell a Gengar slab. So we're minus one Gengar slab in the collection. But I will strike back fiercely and buy 17 more. Sad that I had to let one go. It was really one of my favorites, but it's okay. I would do it again for the Collector's Club. It's very important to me. I did, however, obtain several new decks of playing cards. As many of you know, I collect lots of things, not just Pokemon cards. I collect pocket knives. I never mentioned that. I got a new pocket knife from someone in the Collector's Club as a gift, and it's amazing. Thank you. You know who you are. I got a Benchmade Adamus, which is badass. It's a great knife.
That reminds me, before I forget, if you aren't a part of the Collector's Club and you aren't in stream this weekend, he said it multiple times, we're going to Atlantic City on Saturday. I would like to stop at the Bass Pro Shops. I just wanted to throw that out there.
You're telling me this. While all seven other people are listening, you're wasting their time and telling me this now?
Am I wasting their time? Or are they now survived their interest and in doing a plug for Bass Pro Shops for no reason?
We survived another meeting that could have been an email.
I forget things and I wanted to mention it.
All right, Bass Pro Shops. Got it. So I got several decks of cards. One is like vintage Japanese Pokemon playing cards. They're really cool. The camera here never really works well, and almost everybody's just listening anyway, but I'll send you pictures. And I got a new theory. I will. I got a new Theory 11 deck, which is super dope. Theory 11 makes really high quality playing cards. I got a Mandalorian deck. It's like black, gray, and orange. It's awesome. Feels incredible.
Last night we were playing WWE, and all I hear is him fiddling with something. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm playing with my new playing cards.
I used to do card magic when I was younger. And I still have like a lot of the muscle memory for, you know, fancy cuts and shuffles and things like that. Mm-hmm. So when I get a new deck of cards, especially, like, oh, they just feel so good. So definitely enjoying those. I also received a late Christmas gift from my brother. I got a custom PS5 controller with a Pokemon skin. So that's pretty rad.
Which is a dope looking controller, I see.
It is super cool. And I don't think I got much else in the way of personal collection items, but I did spend a really good chunk of time reorganizing my sealed collection in the office. I bought new bins, like empty storage bins. And, you know, reorganized and moved things around so that I had a better idea of what I was actually holding and what I'm selling. Cause sometimes it just gets very confusing when things get mixed in and I end up accidentally selling things I intended to keep sealed. But I did redo my sealed collection and I have it kind of cordoned off to the side. And in doing so, we found an extra booster box of, or an extra booster box case of Obsidian Flames that I did not know I had. So, surprise restock on Obsidian Flames booster boxes. That's pretty rad.
Obsidian Flames hits. I keep saying it.
Yeah, buddy. Obsidian Flames among other sets is just going outrageous right now. But yeah, that was really a cool surprise, a very pleasant surprise. And other than that, I don't think I collected much for myself other than ripping a ton of Ife Baby packs for myself. They are super fun. So I ripped a lot of Ife Baby stuff. Oh, and I completed... I did get one other new Pokemon item, not Gengar. I completed a blister art set for XY Evolutions. I was missing the Weezing pack art, or I'm sorry, Weezing promo art for the art set of XY Evolutions Check Lane blisters. And I got that. So that was pretty exciting. And... Nope. I also didn't think I was going to do this, but I cracked open a case of Check Lane blisters yesterday, of Unbroken Bonds Check Lane blisters, for someone who placed an order for one. You have no audio? Is that what you're... What are we... What? I can't hear you. Can't hear you at all. You can hear me, but I can't hear you. Maybe type it, because I have no idea what you're saying. He's saying unplug it and plug it back in, for those of you that are just... watching or listening. I can hear myself. My headphones are working fine, but I can't hear you. All right, you can hear me, but I can't hear you. He's doing sign language, which I don't understand. This is really unfortunate for a podcast to not be able to hear one another. I wish there was like a pause feature. Oh, it looks like there is a pause feature. Okay, I'm going to pause. All right, I think we're back.
That was fun.
That was really something. Sorry for the tech difficulties. Hopefully it was hilarious. We're going to find out when we watch this back.
Well, for you guys, it was like a second, not even a millisecond. For us, it was 2 hours trying to fix this.
But we're back, committed to the cause, baby. I think I was talking about Check Lane blisters, Unbroken Bonds. Check Lane.
Well,
blisters,
you had said that you had gotten the XY Evolutions
one, the XY one,
Weezing,
right?
And then you started talking about something else.
Yeah, it was Check Lane blisters, Unbroken Bonds. I opened a case to fulfill an order for a customer, and they have two. There's an Eevee and a Pikachu promo on the Unbroken Bonds Check Lane blisters. So I will absolutely be taking one of each and putting them in my sealed collection. They're super nice promos. Very cool. Very exciting. But yeah, other than that, my week in collecting was otherwise uneventful. I feel like a very good week. I needed to do that reorganization. I don't need to be getting Gengar slabs every single week. I ended up selling a couple slabs at the card show and taking some gains on some non-Gengar related slabs that I had. And I did sell that one larger Gengar slab. But other than that, it's been a great couple of weeks for me.
That's good. You know, we're all just so happy to hear it.
Yeah, man. Me too.
All of us here in the 151 collective. Just, you know, tickled pink to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't collected shit. I think, did I order anything from you?
Probably a couple things here and there since the last podcast.
You gave me this cool ass.
Oh, nice. Full art Dragonite.
Full art Dragonite from Pogo, I believe. Yes. Mm-hmm. Drew gave that to me. Offered the trade, but he wouldn't take it because Drew is a mensch.
He is.
I got these Blooming Waters promos.
Dope.
I got.
No, they're not promos. Did I tell you that? Were you around for that?
I mean, they're the exact same fucking card, so I figured they're not promos.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll reprint the card and they'll put on the bottom the left
promo thing, right?
The Black Star promo stamp, and then SWSH, or in this case, it would be SV, and then whatever the number of the card is to differentiate it as a promo. But promo, they did not do that.
I also,
Alolan Dub Trimo slab, Jem and Tensky,
Japanese. I mean, I think that's actually all that came in this week. Sorry if you heard my pump going off.
Didn't hear it.
Because I am, aka diabetes.
But I am
about to die.
I am mostly deaf, so that would explain why I didn't hear it.
That's fair. Did I get anything else? Yes, I did. I got a Walking Wake and a Iron Leaves.
Nice.
Because
promo from an ETB?
No. In Scarlet and Violet, because it's Pokemon week, whatever. So they're doing from February 21st to the 27th, Terror Raids in Scarlet and Violet.
Oh, okay. The 27th is Pokemon Day.
Thursday, right, so it ends week on Pokemon Day. So if you play it on the Switch and you didn't do that yet, go get yourself an Iron Leaves and a Walking Wake.
There you go.
You can only catch one.
Got to get it done in the Terras.
And when I say you can only catch one, I mean one of each.
Right. That's a good clarification, actually. Very important.
It is, because somebody's going to go for an Iron Leaves and not go for the Walking Wake when you can get both, and I just misspoke.
I don't know that you misspoke necessarily. I think that just the way you chose to say it was a bit confusing. When you said it, I knew what you meant. You could only get one. Like, I knew you meant one of each, but it's definitely not the best way to communicate that message.
Which is why I clarified for all of our people.
I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah, you know, I like them. I want to make sure they get the right info.
It's nice that you like them. They don't like you.
What were you about to say? You were going to say, whoa. And then...
Well, I was going to say, well, they don't like you, but...
Well, it's not surprising. Not words. A lot of, you know, haters going hate.
Haters going hate. Peanut butter and jealous.
Handsome fella with a glorious beard. I get it. I get it. What are you going to do? What are you fiddling with over there?
Bro, I'm trying to get this thing open and it's driving me insane. The new pop socket. I started the process of opening during our several hour delay. And now I can't get it open the rest of the way.
That was also a lie. That was a solid 5 minutes, maybe.
Lie detector test determined. That was a lie.
That was a lie. It was like, 5 minutes. But yeah. So go get you a
Terror Raid.
Future Virizion. Virizion? Virizion?
Virizion. Virizion. Not Virizion. Yeah,
Virizion. Or Verizon a Wireless. Whack and
Wake. Can you hear me now?
That's Nextel.
That was Verizon, bro, wasn't it? Nextel right. had like
Nextel
the.
Oh, was the BB?
Yeah.
They had the walkies.
And they had like a cool slogan for that too. I'm gonna have to stop fiddling with this. I'm gonna put this away because I'm gonna end up breaking it. I need a small pair of scissors.
Scissors.
All right. Big. Well, that pair. I didn't have scissors. I was using a knife.
Smart. Don't cut yourself.
New Gengar pop socket secured.
Well, not really, because you couldn't get it out.
No, it's like a little cardboard thing between, like.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Ring
right in here that I can't get rid of. I'll get it.
I also use my pop socket. You can't really see it. If I put it on my face, you can see
it. I can see it a little bit. That's good. Yeah. Show everybody who's listening to the podcast.
I also use a pop socket.
All right. What are we talking about next? Is it my turn to tell you guys about a Pokemon?
Well, usually before we do that, we would start with a market update.
Okay, I can do that.
Can you do that?
Yeah. You let's first do a segment that I like to call Sit On It with Zachmo. How's that going?
Sitting on it.
Good. Still sealed.
Now up to, I wouldn't say sealed. I'm kidding. It's sealed. But according to the collector app, and this is not an app associated with him, I just like to make sure everybody knows that. It is now up to 289.34.
That is wildly out of date. It's like $340 or $350 right now.
What?
Yeah. Look it up on TCG Last Solds or 320-ish.
Say what? You hear
oh,
that,
yeah,
guys?
Buddy.
Oh, I also got a PS9 Umbreon Pokeball from Prismatic.
Yes, you did.
So whoever wants that for $600, let me know.
PSA 9 Umbreon Pokeball. There's no way that's selling for $600. That's wild.
Look it up. What is it selling for?
I don't know. I'll look it up after I tell you the
collector app says 305.
That's definitely wrong. Umbreon Pokeball.
I'm still gonna sell it for $600, but whatever.
Charting has a 9 at $36 and a 10 at $124. I have no idea what you're looking at.
Collector app, I just told you.
Yeah, but that's probably not even the right product that you're looking at. But there you go. Now you know.
I'm not stupid. Umbreon.
The more you know.
Prismatic Evolutions. Raw is $12.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it in a graded PSA 9, and it says $305.
That's so not even close to true. That's bizarre.
I don't know.
Me neither. View more data, clear filters, filter sales, show all, view sales. TCG player is not working. It's so annoying. But it says market price is $320.83, and I know because I just previously had looked at these, even though the sales aren't pulling right now, on the sealed Prismatic Evolutions Pokemon Center Elite Trainer Box. Sales are exceeding $320 per box right now, so it's almost at $350 per box. Sit on it with Zachmo.
And I'm still selling that Umbreon for $600.
Yes, that's a good... Adam might take it. It's a good plan.
Hey, listen. I don't know if Adam still listens to this as much as he used to, but he owes me $2.
Oh.
I told him that if that Pikachu tend, that he has to give me $2.
I'm glad that it tend. I wonder if he graded it with PSA or a different company.
I think PSA.
That's interesting.
No, PGS. It's a black labeled tend.
Yeah, right? Could you imagine? That'd be wild. An error black label. I could see the print line from across the room, dude. The second it came out of the pack, I knew it had a big fat print line on it. But
I don't know. I think your hearing and your eyesight are
both my hearing is atrocious. My eyesight right. Not so bad.
Debatable.
Back to the market.
Yeah, tell me about the market.
So we didn't talk about the market last week, or last time we recorded didn't talk about anything couple weeks ago. Thanks, bro. A couple weeks ago, we refrained from talking about the market because things are just on fire. The market is still basically in the same shape it was in at that point. However, I do want to kind of highlight a few things, I guess. Currently, this week's phenomenon is art rares. So if you don't know, almost every single art rare in the Scarlet Violet era has gone up 50 to 100%. So any card that was worth like $2, you know, is now worth like $4, $6, $8, $10. And then the expensive cards have gotten like way more expensive. There was also this weird kind of either manipulation cycle or hype cycle or whatever with a couple of different Kamiya artworks. Arctobox, Frigibox, Baxcalibur, and Drowsy. Those cards are all worth $30 to $80, really, realistically. PSA 10 Drowsies are selling for between $800 and $1,000 for a PSA 10 Drowsy art rare, which is crazy to me. That price does not make any sense to me. But this is what's happening in the current market. So art rares are this week's kind of phenomenon. All the Sealed is still performing extremely well in Scarlet Violet. Sword and Shield is definitely in a huge cooldown phase. So if you're someone who buys Pokemon product a lot to hold it sealed and invest in it like I do, you know my plays are always buy the boring stuff when no one's paying attention to it. So I personally am buying Sword and Shield pretty heavy right now. Every chance I get, I would, given the opportunity to buy a palette of Scarlet Violet product and a palette of Sword and Shield product, I would take Sword and Shield product. And most people will disagree with me on that because Scarlet Violet stuff is just completely liquid right now. But that's my personal take on it. Pokemon Center ETBs, absolutely crazy prices. Even Sword and Shield ones now are just blasting off. 151 Pokemon Center ETB is like $400. Prismatic Evolutions Pokemon Center ETB is like $325. The Pokemon Center stamped promos are like between $100 and $200 a piece for all of them. I think like Koridon maybe is like the lowest valued one. And they're all just crazy expensive. Magneton is still cheap because it came out very recently. I think that one's like $60. But generally speaking, the Pokemon Center stamp promos are about $100. Some are more than that. What else? The Pokemon Center ETBs, Pokemon Center stamp promos. Regular ETBs are very expensive, between $60 and $100 for basically all Scarlet Violet era Elite Trainer boxes. Booster boxes are all well over MSRP. Everything's sold out on the Pokemon Center. Vivid Voltage is moving up right now. That's a Sword and Shield product that's actually increasing still because it was still pretty cheap. Predictions, Sword and Shield, we have Vivid Voltage and Battle Styles are the next two that are going to go up pretty big. Long term, still best plays are Crown Zenith and Brilliant Stars. That's just my personal take on it. Crown Zenith is exploding in value again, and it's going to continue to do that. It's literally the best set that we ever had put out in regards to a set that's very fun to open. So
Entei comes out of there, right? All three of them?
Yeah, Entei, Suicune, and Racow are all in there. Every Pokemon is in there. Like, basically, aside from Gengar, your favorite Pokemon is in that set. If the only Pokemon, really, that is like a major hyped up Pokemon that isn't in Crown is the Gengar.
It has a Charizard. Oh, mm-hmm. The one with Rhyon.
It has a Radiant Charizard. Charizard V, and it has Charizard V Star.
Gotcha.
It has Radiant Greninja. It has the legendaries. It has Eeveelutions.
It has the forest.
It's got everything. It's an amazing set. So yeah, Crown Zenith long term is like probably the best play one can make. Even though it's already gone up significantly, it's an excellent long term play. And then something else that I will draw attention to because not too many people are looking at them or talking about them. SIRs, I believe, are very undervalued right now. There's two things I wanted to say. First, I'll finish this train of thought and then I'll go back to the other one. SIRs, I believe, are very undervalued right now. So art rares have, you know, exploded. And what we're seeing is many, many, many art rares are outperforming the secret rares from their same respective sets. So like Skeledirge is sub $30. The Skeledirge where he's like walking along the street. Quackwavolt, Meowscarada, they're all in that like $20 to $30 price range. We have art rares from that same set selling for almost $200, right? We have the Magikarp selling for a crazy price. Now, obviously, Magikarp's been a chase for a really long time, but you also now have Drowsy from SV1 as the most expensive card in that set. You have Groudon being a chase. You have Ghastly being a chase. And so art rares have kind of turned into the chase. I don't think this lasts forever. What happens is there's so many different factors, but one of the things that happens is that when attention gets drawn to cards like this that everybody has, right? Like art rares are very common to pull. It's not common to pull a specific art rare, but pulling an art rare is very common. So these cards are out there. They're plentiful. When everybody realizes that they're worth a bunch of money, the market gets flooded with them. And there's like a twofold equation that happens. Basically, the supply increases to keep up with the demand. And then at the same time, the demand goes down because now they're not as interesting. They're not as expensive. People aren't as don't really want to chase them the same way because they don't cost as much. Which brings me kind of to one of the points that I was going to make. If you casually collect Pokemon cards, this is an excellent opportunity to go through some of your old binders, like your trade binders, like maybe boxes of cards that you've forgotten about. You can find real money sitting inside of some of those boxes. I mean, there's cards that are worth that were formerly worth $1 or $2. These art rares that we would have just put in a penny sleeve and tossed in an ETB. You know, they're literally selling for $80+ each. And some people, you know, have multiple copies. If you ripped a bunch of Scarlet Violet base set, you have a bunch of Drowsies. Odds are it's not the very last card in the set that you needed to complete. I mean, maybe if it was unfortunate luck for you, but it's not like the Drowsy is more rare than any of the other art rares in that set. So if your kids collect, look through their collections, make sure that the cards are protected, I guess, or just sell them and don't tell your kids you're selling them. Buy the more Pokemon stuff with it. But it's important. I think it's an important thing to kind of call out. These cards, you odds are you have some of these cards. So if you care about selling your stuff or if you want to sell your stuff, now's a really good time to look at anything that was like a trainer gallery, an art rare, even old promos like the Moltres promo from Crown Zenith. I had stacks of those, hundreds of those promos. I don't have them anymore. But at the time, I had hundreds of them because they came from items that were getting broken down to produce packs for stream. The Moltres one is selling for like almost $20. The tins were $20. Now just the promo is selling for $20. So there's a lot of opportunity for people to kind of recycle some of their older things that they don't really care so much about and turn it into more money to put into the hobby. I kind of feel like I moved off of what I was talking about a little bit, but
not necessarily.
I definitely cleared up the point about like check your kids' binders. I wanted to make sure I talked about that.
Don't forget, check your kids' candy.
Yeah, that too. See if there's an art rare Drowsy in there.
Art rare Drowsy, if there's a THC edible, send it my way.
You can send either of those things to Zach Moe. He would like them. So I want to talk about the SIR play. I don't think that they're getting the attention they deserve right now. And I also don't think long-term these art rares are going to outperform the special illustration rares. So much like I said about buying things when no one's looking for a sealed product, SIR, this is a really good time to hop in on some of those special illustration rares. It's inevitable that they will become more expensive, especially like I'm going to buy a copy of each of those three, Skeledirge, Meowscarada, and Quackwaval. I'm not even particularly a huge fan of the cards, but those are the first special illustration rares of the Paldean Big Three.
I want that set so badly.
All of them, Fuecoco.
Yeah, I want that so badly.
Right.
And so, I don't know how I'm going to get those.
Well, the art rares are dummy expensive right now, but the SIRs are very cheap. Crocolore is pretty cheap. I think Crocolore is kind of cheap. And
Quaxly.
I think the first three are all expensive. So Sprig, Quaxly, and Fuecoco are all expensive.
Oh, Quaxwell. I meant Quaxwell. I get the
confused. Yeah, so Quaxwell, Crocolore, and Fuecoco's middle evolution.
Those are from Paldea Evolved.
Skeletor, whatever the fuck his name is. Those are the middle line is all cheap right now. What's his name? Fuecoco's middle one?
Crocolore.
Florgato is who I'm not thinking of.
So the Fuecoco is $28 on collector, but we don't know how much we trust the collector.
Probably closer to 50, I would imagine. I mean, crazy prices for these art rares. So I would not buy. I would not be buying any art rares right now. I actually, in fact, sold a bunch of art rares at the show this weekend because I'm extremely confident that they will come back down in price. We can't see the really. No, we can't see it.
I'm just showing the Fuecoco card. Look at the little face in the fucking cart.
Yeah, the Fuecoco is an awesome card. Undoubtedly, Fuecoco is the best starter in the Paldean era. So
I put an Everstone on mine in Scarlet.
As I think we've said this on podcast before, and as crazy as it sounds to old heads like us, Scaladurge is somebody's Charizard, man. Scaladurge is like the first.
That's a reach.
It's not a reach, dude. Imagine you're a kid whose first experience playing the Pokemon.
If my kid's first experience is playing Scarlet and Violet, I'm trading him a Charmander so that he can grow up.
Dude, a lot of kids, even, you know, parents who weren't into Pokemon, the kids get into Pokemon and they're playing on a Nintendo Switch and their first game is Sword and Shield Base or Scarlet Violet.
Also, right? that Netflix show where Sprigatito is the main star, that's their
first. It's all over Pokemon advertising right now. These are this generation's big three. So will Skeledirge ever hold the same buying power or market cap that Charizard or Umbreon or Gengar holds?
Not with that goofy ass stance and shiny Charizard.
Probably not, but think of Pokemon like Typhlosion, Feraligatr, Meganium. These are starters that are extremely popular. They're still, in some cases, S tier.
That falls into our generation still.
But it's not from Gen 1, you know?
No, but I mean, all of us playing Gen 1, we got Gen 2. We were still kids.
Some aged out by then. Barely. Playing in 99 and playing in 2004 were dramatically different.
It was not 04.
For Gen 2, necessarily, but when you get through like 2000, 99 or 2000, the game came out. When you get through a little deeper in, and you get to these other regions.
You get to like Emerald.
And we have,
I agree with.
We have standout Pokemon, but they didn't start as standout Pokemon. You know what I mean? Like when they came out. Yeah. Who was like, yo, Lugia is going to be this epic Pokemon with all this lore around it.
Well, I bought
Skyridge Charizard, right? Like nobody knew that those things were going to be super valuable. Everybody thought like the Charizard hype had died down. There's these other starters, right? Like it wasn't, nobody was collecting like shining Charizards. That's why they're so expensive right now. It's like a Neo Revelation Shining Charizard was like, nobody took care of them. Nobody graded them. The populations are very, very low. That's a whole nother debate we can get into about like vintage versus modern and future values. But basically, I think the point I'm trying to make is for freaking sub $20, that Skeledirge SIR is a no brainer. And I would not buy the matching art rares right now personally. Like if you don't already have those art rares, I just would wait until the market for art rares cools down. It will cool down.
The art rare market will cool down. Birthday isn't literally exactly a month. Today's the 25th, in exactly a month. And I really want the Paldea Evolved Big Three.
There you go. So that's the market update, along with a couple of little plays for you. If you're interested in buying singles, understand the singles market's extremely volatile. But I would say SIRs are probably the play if you're into sealed. I personally am putting my investment sealed money into Sword and Shield products right now, well before any Scarlet Violet product. Sword and Shield stuff is actually a little bit easier to obtain. I can get Sword and Shield and vintage boxes much easier than I can pry Scarlet Violet from the hands of investors at the moment. But I personally think that we're going to see some correction to this market over the next year, whereas we'll see Sword and Shield continue these cycles of like boom, correction, boom, correction, boom, correction, boom.
Scarlet Violet. Oh, okay.
Sorry, Sword and Shield. I don't know what I said.
You said Sword and Shield, but I was...
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. So we just recently saw this huge boom with Sword and Shield. And we're currently seeing a small correction, 10-12% correction on Sword and Shield stuff. Things are coming off their all-time highs like a tiny little bit, but nothing's crashing and nothing's going to crash because the supply of that product is entirely depleted and there's no speculation as to whether or not it will be reprinted. It's not getting reprinted, right? Maybe Crown Zenith if they... There's just no way. It's done. Sword and Shield, put Sword and Shield on the shelf. It's done. Scarlet Violet, there's all this speculation that there's going to be these massive reprint waves and we're going to end up in a situation where all these boxes that are crazy expensive right now are going to be worth significantly less in the future. Currently, we're not seeing that. We're seeing small reprints come out and they're getting swallowed up by the market immediately. But that's why I think Sword and Shield is a safer play. We'll see a small correction and then another boom and then a small correction and another boom. Whereas with Scarlet Violet, I think what we'll see is either a massive correction or a leveling for quite some time. It's only going to go so high. That's just my personal take on it. Eventually down the road, I mean, you can buy anything Pokemon basically at any price. And if you give it enough time, it'll eventually be worth more than what you paid for it. Even vintage, even people who lost their hat on vintage during the crazy boom of 21, given enough time, it will exceed the value that they purchased at. Most people don't want to keep their assets tied up for that long, so they just take the loss and keep it moving. But, you know, time in position or time in market is far more important than timing the market. But ideal state, you're doing both.
I follow all of that.
Time in the market
is better than timing.
Is more important than timing the market, but ideally you're doing both. You're buying at
a smart time. Buy high, sell low.
Buying at a smart time and holding until it's really gotten a chance to mature. So that's it for the market. That was a lot. Again, it's always a lot when I talk about the market, but we haven't done a good update in quite a while. So there you go, guys. Pokemon still go up. Everything is outrageous. Sourcing products is extremely difficult. And we'll bookmark sourcing product. We'll talk more about that in a little bit.
Cool. So why don't you tell us about Pokemon?
Pokemon update. So I was deciding how I was going to pick a Pokemon. And I opened up a random number generator. And I typed in 1025 because that is the number of Pokemon that exist if you remove mega evolutions and variants. And I got lucky number, I don't even remember what number it was. Lucky number 194.
Ooh, let me guess. 194, Gen 2. Are we doing Noct Owl?
It is not Noct Owl. I genuinely one-shotted the random number generator and went with the very first number it spat out. So today we'll be learning about Wooper.
Oh boy.
Wooper is a dual type water and ground Pokemon introduced in Gen 2. And Wooper
to grass.
Yes. The Wooper that we know, we old heads know, evolves into Quagsire starting at level 20. Much more recently, we were introduced to a new Pokemon, which was really just a regional form, but also kind of behaved like a brand new Pokemon, and that was Paldean Wooper. Now, Paldean Wooper evolves into Paldean Clodsire, which is only in the Paldean region and wasn't a Pokemon until the Paldean region. So it's not like some of the other Pokemon that evolve into like multiple different forms, like a male and a female form, or like Eevee has multiple evolutions. Wooper had this gap of seven generations between when Quagsire became a Pokemon and then when Clodsire was introduced, which I think is an interesting thing. I think that was kind of a cool dynamic that they like went back in time and found this other Pokemon that kind of became like somewhat of a mascot.
Okay.
He became a mascot for the Paldean generation. Paldean Wooper was one of the first Pokemon that we got to meet from the Paldean region. I don't know if you remember that time, but when they introduced Paldean Wooper, it was like this huge news. And that's
first one I remember is Lechonk.
Oh, okay. Well, Paldean Whooper was one of the first, and maybe the first that we got. And it was the time frame when everybody was like, oh, look, we got Pooper. That's where the name Pooper comes from, is Paldean and Whooper put together.
I just remember seeing a little pig and thinking, oh, look, they made me a Pokemon.
I am LeChunk. I love LeChunk. Interestingly, I think the shiny Whooper, not Paldean Whooper. Yeah, it looks kind of like Mew. That's very
not Mew-esque. Even a little bit.
It looks a lot of it.
It looks like a Whooper in pink.
Yeah, but it looks like Mew. Okay, so fun facts about Whooper. Whooper has the lowest special defense out of any Pokemon. Let me make sure I'm saying this correctly. The lowest base special defense stat and the lowest base stat total of all ground type Pokemon. Not out of all Pokemon, but out of all ground type Pokemon. Prior to Gen 9.
Defensive stat?
What?
Said, do you know who has the best defensive stat?
Yeah, Shuckle. You don't fuckle with Shuckle.
You don't fuckle with Shuckle. Continue.
Prior to Gen 9 and the addition of Toad School, Whooper was the only ground type to consist of only a head and legs. Fun fact, I guess. Whooper was one of the first Pokemon to have its gender differences revealed. Whooper and Scizor. So Whooper male has little gills that come out of the side of his heads with like three lines on them. Whooper female has the gills that come out of the side of his head, out of her head, with one like line of antennae on them. Also, Paldean Whooper is the only Paldean form to be revealed prior to the release. Haha, see, I knew I was right. It was the only one to be revealed prior to the release of Scarlet and Violet. It's also the only regional form to be revealed during a game's pre-release season. A Whooper appears to be based on a larval salamander or an axolotl. Has a flat tail, feathery external gills. Many species of salamanders are known for poisonous skin. If you don't know about Whooper, Whooper is said to really only come out at night. It likes to stay in cool water, but at night it comes out to hunt, more or less. Not like in an intimidating way, but to hunt for food.
It eats Charizard, right?
No, it doesn't eat Charizard. So there's actually no mention of what it eats, presumably bugs.
Little cat.
And it coats its skin in like a very sticky poison. So very, very interesting defense mechanism. And Paldean Whooper, fun fact, the gills on the Paldean Whooper kind of give the appearance or the shape of a skull and crossbones, which is a hazard symbol used for as a warning for poisonous substances. So I actually did think that was kind of like a cool design feature, because it coats it. A skull and crossbones means poison. Yeah. So yeah, I thought that was a cool feature to make it like, hey, this little axolotl dude is covered in poison. You might not want to touch him. Very, very cool design. And the last thing about Whooper, the name comes from something in Japanese pronounced Whooper Looper, which was a marketing term they created in Japan that started a pet salamander raising fad. Whooper Loopers are the Japanese term for axolotls. So I guess there was like a fad at one point in Japan for raising axolotls, which they called Whooper Loopers.
That's fucking awesome.
Where we got the name Whooper.
If I ever see an axolotl in real life, I'm just going to yell Whooper Looper at it.
That's your, that is your mark, your Pokemon weekly highlight, thanks to a random number generator. And now you know about Whooper.
I like it. I like Whooper. I actually don't really like Whooper all that much. I like Quagsire. I remember liking Quagsire in the original when I got Gold.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Now that you say Quagsire, there's one other thing. Whooper's dumb. Like it's okay. Like known. It's in dexes and stuff. Whooper and Quagsire, they're like no brain, empty stare, like total derps.
Well, I mean, look at Quagsire. It just has that big ass smile and walks around with it.
Yep. They're just derps. Total derps.
Is that what you
that wanted? Is all.
Just wanted to throw it out there that it's fucking stupid.
Pretty much.
Okay, Kendrick. That's cool. Yeah, that was fun. I liked learning about Whooper. Whooper Looper.
Whooper Looper. All right, where are we at? What is on the agenda?
Well, you said you wanted to talk about sourcing You said that before?
Yeah, let's revisit
that. I had a question, and I completely forgot what the question was, so next time I have a question, I'm just going to ask it.
Yeah, as you always do. Except for this one instance, apparently.
This is why I do that. Because if I don't mention it when it's in my mind, it's gone.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about sourcing. Maybe you'll think of your question eventually. But sourcing as a collector, and sort of the overall sentiment in the market right now is something that I've been thinking a lot about as a business owner who, you know, tries really hard to create an environment where people feel very comfortable and they feel like they can collect without stress. It's been an exceptionally difficult time to do that because prices are something that people are very sensitive about, and for good reason. People's money is very important. I believe also that their time is extremely important, and we have to kind of strike a balance between, you know, investing time or investing money into this hobby. It's true in all things in life, all hobbies, all projects, everything. You need to invest time and money. And if you want to save some of one, you have to invest more of the other. It's true for home improvement products or projects. It's true. Ooh. For basically pretty much anything in life.
I really hope somebody does. Is it a home improvement?
Yeah, time and money. And it, like I said, if you want to save one, you got to spend some of the other. So I want to talk about what I believe is an extremely disproportionate use of people's time right now in sourcing. I was in Target yesterday with my wife and kids. We went out for dinner as we do on Mondays. That's our night to spend a little time together as a family. We go to Applebee's. And after we went to Applebee's, we went to Target to do a little bit of grocery shopping. And when we got there, there was this big line of people waiting for what I assumed at the time was the Pokemon restock. And there was maybe 10 people in line or so. So we, you know, my wife and I commented briefly, like, oh, that's so crazy. I can't believe things are like this right now. And then we went about our shopping, had a good time in Target with the kids, spent maybe an hour or so in Target, hour and 15 minutes. Then we're walking towards the checkout, and the line is now like tripled by this point. There's probably about 30 people in line. We had been there for an hour and a half. I have no idea how long they were there before we got there. And by the time we were leaving, there was still no restock in sight. The shelves were totally empty and people were just standing around waiting. And then someone asked, we didn't ask, but someone nearby us asked, like, what are these people doing? And the Target team member said, oh, they're waiting for the Pokemon cards. And it really blew my mind that people would spend such an incredible amount of time waiting for a chance to purchase Pokemon cards at whatever price, you know, Target was charging. There are a select handful of products that maybe that would be valuable. Like, you could potentially like resell them and make more money, or like save so much money opening them that it would be worth investing a couple hours of time. But the limit is you can only buy two products at Target, and no one even knows like what the restock is going to be. So the person could just come in and put like, you know, Paradox Rift sleeves on the shelf and that's it. Mm-hmm. So I was astounded by that. And then there was also some discussion this morning in Discord about the Best Buy drops and how shitty of a job Best Buy did with their new drop feature. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about Pokemon Center crashing and everybody saying, oh, the Pokemon Center website's terrible because it's like trying to block bots from coming in, but it's actually ends up blocking like regular everyday users. And there's just this crazy amount of like, I don't know. I feel
what
like
it's doing is it's taking the fun out of it.
I don't disagree with that at all.
It really is killing the fun of collecting. And it saddens me to say that because I've only, you know, been back in it for like a year and a half now. And it's like completely like these people, they're not even necessarily scalpers because you can only get two products at a time. It's like just what is happening with the scalpers that have made it get to this point is it's really just not a fun time anymore. And it's sad because like I got a Shuckle card. You put a Shuckle card in my package. Fucking loved that card. the card's going to be worth 34 cents, but everybody's going crazy because they're seeing how the market is moving. And they're like, holy shit, we need to get all these cards. You're not going to get the fucking cards, first of all. trust me, I've been there. You're not going to fucking get it. Second of all, you're just ruining it for other people who just want to collect and have fun. And you're ruining it for the kids, because I'm sure there's lots of kids that just want to collect and have fun. And mom and dad can't fucking get the cards because there's assholes buying them all out just to try to make a profit and to upsell something that they really have no idea what the fuck they're doing. The profit you're going to be making is mere dollars, in my opinion. Unless you're holding it for, unless you're holding it for, you know, 10 years. But at the moment, nobody's scalping and going crazy to buy for 10 years down the line. They're seeing, it's the same thing with like crypto. I mean, in my opinion, it's in the news. It's people aren't completely knowledgeable about what's going on, but they see it in the news and they see that it's a craze and they want to get in on it.
Yes.
Want to get in on this craze. And like I see on TikTok all the time, people are like, oh, I just got these, you know, these Pokemon cards from Target. Like they were the last ones. It's like, cool. Like everybody's just doing it for the clout. And it is
that word craze, I think, really sums up what's happening. And it's very reminiscent of when Pokemon first came out. There was this massive like craze. It was like hysteria almost.
Right.
Like, we have to get Pokemon.
And if they show on the news, like we've seen it, the people in Costco when they put the 151 boxes up and everybody just tackled this stand full of boxes and people are tackling each other like it's fucking Black Friday 20 years ago. It starts the craze and then people are like, oh, there's something going on here. We need to get in on this.
Yeah.
There's really, you know, there's nothing to get in on. You're making a couple of dollars at most by reselling on eBay or some shit. I mean, it's ruining it for a lot of people. A lot of people can't afford to pay those extra couple of dollars. And because the market is this way, it completely ruins collecting for them. And they're no longer having fun. And I mean, that's not cool.
Yeah, I also don't think that this is a healthy time to be selling Pokemon either. It might seem like, wow, things are great right now. You know, these people selling Pokemon must be making so much money. As a person who's selling Pokemon right now, this is definitely the hardest it's ever been to be a business owner. You know, sourcing the product is extremely difficult. There's no magic solution. There's no store that I know about that you guys don't, where I go get all this product. It's extremely difficult to get.
We've even had conversations about your sourcing where you had talked to them and let's say you were supposed to get 200 ETBs. Well, guess what? Now you're only getting 20.
Yeah. That's what happened to me with Prismatic. I had ordered 100 cases and I think I ended up with 14 cases, which is still great, right? I had 140 ETBs. That's fantastic. But I ordered 1,000 because I sold 2,151 ETBs because they were easy to get at the time. They were printed. Everybody had them. They were easy to get. So I sold 2,151 ETBs and I figured, all right, well, I should order at least 1,000 Prismatic ETBs for this initial wave because I sold 2,151 ETBs under MSRP for the record. You can go back and watch my old TikTok videos about the pricing I had on 151 ETBs. And
I remember buying them from you at MSRP.
Under MSRP, significantly. Right. You may have bought them at MSRP, but there was a time where I was selling them, I believe, for $4.99 was the lowest I had. Yeah,
I joined the club before 151 dropped, so I was already there. I mean, I guess we weren't friends yet because you didn't like me. You still don't. You don't remember me buying things from you.
I think the lowest I had them listed was $44.99 at one point.
Yeah, and they're what, like 100? What are they now? 200 something?
$200 a piece. Yeah,
that's fucking insane.
Yeah,
for that's just barely a year old, over a year old.
Yeah, so 151. I kind of understand the value of that set appreciating as quickly as it has. We had a long time with that set on the market, and no one wanted it, and it sat and it sat and it sat, and it sold for under MSRP. Everything was available under MSRP. Ultra premium collections were $80, $90. And
I do remember that
they were being clear and stout. I mean, nobody, you know, they were getting hot sold at $90 a piece because we were getting pallets of them. I could order 1,000 ultra premium collections and get 1,000 ultra premium collections. And I wasn't, because they were selling for $80 and at the wholesale cost on them was like $78. So it's like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm making a 10 cents after my fees. Right. Mm-hmm. So it didn't make sense. There were like these bazillionaire companies buying a, you know, huge allotments and making these 2 cents times a gazillion. Right. That wasn't my business model, but times have changed and things aren't selling at MSRP. I said this in Discord today. My guess is that 80% of the people that are out there, all the keyboard warriors throwing around terms about you're selling product over MSRP, whatever, they don't even know what MSRP stands for. That is my genuine thought process on this. It's just like,
well, if they're listeners of this, because I have clarified that many of times when you've said MSRP, I always say what it stands for to the general public. You know,
it blows my mind. You can go ahead. You can say it. I don't care to clarify anymore.
Manufacturer's suggested suggested retail price.
Manufacturer's suggested retail price, which means there is no set retail price. It's a suggested retail price. Now, right. I understand people buying product for the best possible deal. I think that's great. But I think there's a lot of people who want to have it both ways. They want product under MSRP when market suggests the product should be under MSRP.
And they want to product. Sell it.
Well, not even sell it. Like, this is just, I'm just talking about collectors. I also don't, like, we could go on about this for another hour. I don't think that this scalper fucking army that people are talking about even exists. It doesn't. I go to card shows every week. This is my full-time job. I go to 2 to 3 card shows every single week. There are 50 vendors and there are 50,000 fucking neckbeard collectors there pushing through each other, trying to get shit. And you were at con with me. There were 120 tables.
I just went through the little binders and got $1 and $2.
There were 120 tables, 200 tables, 20,000 attendees.
Yeah, it was packed.
That's not a scalper army. That's a collector army. Okay?
Well, it's a collector army turned to scalpers.
Why are the collectors now scalpers? There's no product to buy. If no one's selling it, how is it being scalped? You can't even find it.
That's fair.
Like, the product isn't being scalped. It's just fucking expensive because there's not a lot of it and a shitload of people want it. Sure, there are people going to Target or Walmart and buying it and then selling it for a profit. Is that happening? Abso-fucking-lutely. But there are also people, way more in my personal opinion, who go to Target, see a restock, or Walmart, see a restock, and think to themselves, oh man, this is such a great deal. This is cheaper than anywhere else I can find it. I'm buying all of it. And then they rip it all. Right? And sure, that happens... Yeah. At a 20-to-1 ratio, at least a 20-to-1 ratio. There's 35 people waiting in line at Target that I saw this week. How many of those people do you think are there to resell? There's old married couples with their kids. Like, these people aren't there to resell. They're just there to get the product at a low price. There was never a lineup of scalpers. Scalpers, quote unquote, people who are scalping product.
That falls into my mass hysteria craze.
Yes, and that's part of the issue. We have a supply issue at the moment. I don't think this scalper army that everybody is always talking about
exists. I'm talking about the scalper army, quote unquote. The scalper army falls into the mass hysteria craze.
Yes, it is.
You know, anything
manufactured. On
Facebook, one person reads it on Facebook, they repost it. Now five more people.
Facebook. So, I mean,
one person said.
I said Facebook. What are you, 74? Who's using Facebook?
Okay, 4chan. I don't know where you want me to go.
But yes, I agree with you completely. What we're seeing happen is this just regurgitation of information with no thought at all. oh, the scalpers are taking it all. Oh, I can't find Pokemon because of all these rip and shippers, all these small card shops who are charging over MSRP. That's why I can't find Pokemon. Bullshit. That's not true. That's not the case at all.
It's just millions of us that want to buy it.
There's a lot of people in the hobby right now. A lot of people who are collecting Pokemon, and none of them are your enemy. It just is what it is. Get to a place of acceptance. It's hard to find the stuff right now.
You know who the real enemy is? It's the Pokemon Company.
I made a comment about the Pokemon Company today in the Discord. That there is 100% a strategy to what is happening right now. Pokemon Company is not stupid. And I suppose while we're on this subject, we can get into this. So for as long as I can remember, the Pokemon Center website sold all of the Pokemon boxes at MSRP. Do you remember when we were first doing podcasts talking about like Brilliant Stars, Fusion Strike, Astral Radiance, Vivid Voltage, all those boxes were still on the Pokemon Center.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you could still buy those on the Pokemon Center because they were being sold for MSRP.
Right.
For 4 fucking years, they sat on the Pokemon Center website. 4 years they sat on the Pokemon Center website because MSRP was too high of a price to pay in collectors' minds. So they went to find people like me, people like their local game store, people like any other rip and ship company to buy the product at market rate. Pokemon zoomed out and took a look at this and said, we're selling X amount of our product. You know, 80% of our stuff is going to these distributors. We're selling it to the distributors for 70. They're selling it for 80. These other guys are selling it for 100. Meanwhile, we're sitting on 4 years worth of inventory and barely making any money.
Right.
Because we have to house all this inventory. We have to take care of it. We have to air condition the room. We have to pay the employees. We have to use security cameras on it. We're just sitting on this shit. And it's not worth anything. And then by the time it's worth anything, it sells out on Pokemon Center and they're not making anything over MSRP ever. Right. So they stopped giving huge quantities of product to distributors. Fast forward, Journey Together comes out, sells out on Pokemon Center at MSRP in 35 seconds. They sell 200,000 fucking booster boxes of it. And now, instead of making $70 a box, selling those 200,000 booster boxes to the distributors, now they made $164 on every single box of those 200,000 boxes. They have effectively doubled their profit on Pokemon cards.
Right.
They're not dumb. There was reason behind this. I don't think it's inherently bad for Pokemon to have made that decision. I think this is a massive adjustment period, and there's no knowledge currently within these like sort of toxic groups that are going around talking as if they know what's happening. There's just not enough knowledge. They have not been in the hobby for a long enough time, or they're doing what you're saying, where they're kind of like spreading doom and gloom that they've seen on other sources. And yeah, we should give them a little pew pew. There's just not enough information being digested and unique thoughts coming out for any of these sort of attacks on, you know, scalper, rip and shipper, LGS, for any of those things to make any sense, because they don't really know what's been going on for the 20 years that Pokemon has been available. There was a major change to the way things were distributed starting in the Scarlet Violet generation. And even in the beginning, it wasn't enough to rock the market. I mean, the MSRP debate is ridiculous, in my opinion. You're not a grocery store. It's not like you scan a barcode and that's the price. Even at grocery stores, every product has a market price.
Even at the grocery store, it's an MSRP.
Yeah. You know,
retail price.
I talked about, I don't remember. Did I talk about the popcorn thing here? My popcorn theory about where you buy popcorn and all that, why it's more expensive in some places than others.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe not, but it's the same shit. It's not even just popcorn. Bananas. Talk about bananas. When you buy a banana at the grocery store, how much do you pay? $0.79 a banana, maybe, right?
That's an expensive banana, but yeah.
Okay, good, great. I don't know because I don't buy bananas. My wife does the grocery shopping. How much does one banana cost at a grocery store?
I don't know. Let's say $0.79 because I don't know the actual price.
Okay, great. So let's just say that they're probably right around $0.79, somewhere in that ballpark. If you go to the grocery store to get them. Now, if you were to go to a local farmer's market, you might be able to buy 100 bananas for $0.49 a piece because you're buying a larger volume and you're buying directly from the wholesaler, so to speak, right? Farmer.
Right.
Right. So you get them for cheaper there than the grocery store, who's like a main target, right? Sells them at $0.79 a piece. You go to a convenience store, like a Quick Check, to buy your banana, and they're $0.99 because Quick Check is open till 11 and the grocery store closes at 9. So if you need a banana between 9 and 11, Quick Check knows they kind of got you by the balls. They charge an extra $0.20.
I just go on Tinder
to get a banana. I think it's called Grindr. Who else? Starbucks used to sell bananas. I worked there for a long time. At Starbucks, we charged $1.50 for a banana. Because you're stopping at Starbucks on your way to work. If you forgot your breakfast at home and you want a banana, guess what? You don't have time to stop anywhere else. So you're going to pay $1.50 for that banana. Right? It's all the same banana. But the price changes everywhere you go based on the condition of the market. And based on your circumstances. And I believe the same to be true about Pokemon. You know, like if that dollar, there's people, I'm sure, who are at Starbucks who said $1.50 is too expensive for a banana. I'm going to go to the grocery store and buy a banana for $0.79 and then go to work. And then wasted time, gas, money, effort going to the grocery store trying to save money. They're stepping over pennies while dollars fly by, which drives me nuts. Shout out Travis. We talked about that. There's no reason in my mind for people to think that any product should be sold exclusively at MSRP, especially a collectible where we look for value in the product. There's inherent value in this stuff. Even if it's 35 cents, every card has some kind of assigned value to it. We have decided collectively as a Pokemon hobby enthusiast that every single card has some kind of assigned value. So you're purchasing something that's resellable. It's a trading card. They have to have value. They get traded in order to have a tier of trades. It has to have some kind of value to it. They've had value since Bazooka Joe bubblegum packs, right? That's just how the market works. So the suggestion that things should only be sold at MSRP, or, you know, buying product at MSRP is something that you deserve as a collector and that you should just have that luxury, I think is ridiculous. And it's,
well, yeah, because if you're going based off of that theory that everything should be MSRP, let's say you buy a pack of 151 at $10. You pull the SAR Charizard. There's how many cards in a pack?
11.
So that now 10, that Charizard 10
plus the energy in the code card.
Okay, so now that, all right, let's just say 10. That card is now worth $1.
Yeah. If you want to,
and that's if you want to keep it at MSRP, that card is worth $1 and that's where it's going to stay.
That's one part of it. And I would go so far as to say, like, sure, I would trade as a business owner. I would trade selling at market price for buyers always buying at MSRP. I would much rather do that.
I can agree with that.
I lost money on
when the market
selling
when something goes
when
down.
The market conditions are horrendous,
right?
And selling for collectors and coming up with crazy schemes and games and having these super fun times on stream, but having to get extremely creative on the stream in order to be profitable and continue to run the business. And
that's one thing I don't think people realize about.
Oh, people have no idea, which is fine. I don't expect them to.
When they buy a pack for like $7, you're not making $7. You're making, you know, 10, 20 cents.
7 cents?
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing a lot of people don't realize about like rip and ship and all that and profit margins and shit.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure there's some business out there that are killing it. I'm sure some people are making a ton of money. And, dude, don't get me wrong. I'm busier than I've ever been. So even though my margins are very similar to what they always were.
I don't know. Your queue is usually like two people.
Yeah. two people with 4 hour rips each. Things have been great, right? Like, everybody's into Pokemon. Everybody's always buying stuff. It's awesome. It's a great time. I have the best job in the world, and I'm not complaining about what I do. And I don't want anybody to say, oh, poor you. That's not the point of this at all. I love what I do. But for the people that are new here, you don't deserve MSRP. You deserve market price. And I say that lovingly. You deserve market price. Just because you don't like today's market price, I promise you, within 1 year, you will be begging to buy at market price over MSRP. You will not be buying at MSRP. You will forcibly put people who sell at MSRP out of business when you begin to buy at the new market prices when this hype cycle retreats. So no one is entitled to MSRP. And I don't think that it's a valiant use of time or energy or effort for people to let this concept of MSRP ruin their day or change the way they feel about this hobby, right? If there's stuff, if finances are an issue and you're an adult in this hobby, buy the cheaper stuff. There's plenty of stuff that's still available for cheap. So I don't think that's a problem.
That's what I do.
Right? No. Like, you can't have it both ways.
I'm still breaking my fucking bank.
You can't open a pack of Prismatic Evolutions and hope to pull a card that's worth $2,000, but also only want to pay MSRP for that product. Like, that's just not how shit works. So you don't deserve it. You're not entitled to it. You deserve market price. And I say that with love. I'm going to say that one more time. You deserve market price. And I say that with love, because the market is always fluctuating. And right now it's extremely high. I don't think now is an amazing time to be buying up Pokemon cards, like with reckless abandon. I think now is a great time to enjoy this hobby. If you're in a financial position to enjoy it, the highs are high and the lows are low. You can make a tremendous return opening Pokemon right now, and that's great. But if you're not,
go ahead.
What do you do?
Finish your sentence.
I was going to say, if you're not in a financial position, then open the stuff that's cheaper. There's plenty of stuff that's cheaper.
What I do is I make sure I have enough for a TikTok to give me free shipping, and that's where I spend my money.
There you go. $30 gets you free shipping on TikTok.
There you go.
In my shop, anyway.
You know, you can rip 4 or 5 packs, have some fun, get a really cool Shuckle that is apparently worth 35 cents, but you think it's worth $1,000. You know?
You can, in my store, you get free shipping over $30, which means, by the way, you spend $30, like pretty much exactly, if you spend like 30 on the nose, let's say you get 5 packs, $6 a pack, $30. I get 6% for fees taken out, 30 cents taken out for the transaction fee. And then I also pay $6 to ship it to you. And I pay for the shipping supplies, and I pay the hourly rate of the person I pay to do my shipping. So I probably lose $1 or $2 on every $30 order.
So I owe you a couple of bucks.
Not you. I'm just saying in general, that's where that's where this money goes. That's where this money comes from. That's where the prices come from. That's why the market is what it is. I feel like people who are out there clamoring and saying like these like pitchfork angry, like, there's an army of people out there making my day miserable. Bah, like, you're either not knowledgeable or you're incredibly entitled. And I hope to spread some knowledge and not offend anybody. I'm sure I offended some people, but I'm hoping to spread knowledge. Market price is king. It will always be king. I'll trade you any day of the week for MSRP all the time, because MSRP all the time is a losing proposition for you. The market is almost never in this state and almost always in a state where MSRP is the high water mark for sales on that product. Only dummies were buying on Pokemon Center. You spent $150 on a booster box, you idiot. That was the sentiment 2 years ago.
So and now it sells out in 35 seconds.
Exactly. It's not going to be this way forever. There will be adjustments made. Who knows what it'll be? Maybe the future will be different. Maybe it will be. Maybe MSRP on the Pokemon Center will be the new normal, paying $165 a box.
Maybe we should all start buying Digimon.
Maybe. Yeah, we don't know, right? Like, who knows what the future holds? But I will tell you that it will not be as insane as it is right now. There's just no shot that it'll stay as competitive as it is at the moment. So hopefully someone learned something from that. I feel like I've said my piece. I'm going to leave this topic here on this podcast, and I will not be bringing this up again. I did talk about this today in Discord. Piece. Huh? Yeah.
Fuck y'all. I don't know everybody. I think with that hopeful, you know, the hopeful sentiment you just ended with, I think was a beautiful sentiment. Tremendous sentiment.
Thanks, buddy.
Let's go into our ranking.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do something fun.
That felt good. But, that felt therapeutic.
Well, I'm glad you got it out.
I needed to get that out there. I've been getting shitted on, it feels like. So I'm glad to have gotten some knowledge out there.
Be nice to Collector. It's not his
fault. No.
Market sucks.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
You hear that? Don't be nice to him.
Not what I'm saying. I'm not begging for anybody's favor. Present.
If you made it this long in the episode,
leave a like.
Like, subscribe, click the notification button. So the first one I saw on Discord that wasn't a dumb fucking answer.
Oh my God. I love you all.
Is Duckies, and we're gonna go with grass.
All right. Grass type, oh, all gens, default form, any evolution.
Not ready yet. I wasn't ready.
I'm just making sure all the things are good. There we go. Why is it? It's set to default. It's set to default, and it still gave us unremarkable Sinistra. Thing's broken. Let's just pretend it says just Sinistra, okay?
Okay, but I'm also still not ready.
All right, well, I'm going to write down my 10 digits here on the paper because I'm old school and I do this with paper.
Yeah, well, I don't have a cute little desk to do it. I don't know what your desk looks like.
Certainly not cute. It is little.
Okay. Sinistra.
Yep. After Sinistra, we have Moralol.
Who?
Moralol. The little mushroom dude. Like Shinodic's
pre-evolution.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Abomasnow. Huh. I guess that makes sense.
Why is that? What do you mean?
I'm surprised to see Abomasnow in grass type, but yeah. Grass and
grass ice. Really bad against fire types.
All right. Next up, we got Rowlet.
Rowlet's cute.
After Rowlet, we got Ferroseed.
That's less cute.
After Ferroseed, we got Breloom. After Breloom, we got Turtwig.
Oh, I do like me a Turtwig.
Me too. After Turtwig, we got Servine. Oh boy. Two spots left. Got myself into a pickle. After Servine, we got Bonasweet. Oh boy. We need a banger. Last Pokemon. Oh my God. Steeny. Wah, 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 wah. Needless to say, I'm not thrilled with my ranking.
I'm not mad at mine.
I think our rankings would even now that we're not blind, I think like changing things around, our rankings would be very different.
Probably. Number 10.
Bonasweet.
Moralol. Number 9.
Disagree wholeheartedly. Number 9 is Abomasnow.
Sinistra.
Number 8.
Number 8. Ferroseed.
Senechal.
Number 7, Bon Sweet.
Rowlet.
It's a cute little guy.
Did I say Bonus Sweet again? Probably. I wrote Bonus Sweet. What number was that?
Confused the fuck out of me. 7. Number 6.
Arrowseed.
Servine. Number 5.
Morlul.
Deany.
I like Morlul a lot. Morlul's cool.
That's just like your opinion, man.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Number 4.
Servine.
Abomasnow. You know, it's a big dude. I like it. Number 3.
Turtwig.
Rowlet.
Woof.
Cute little guy. Number 2.
Breloom.
Breloom.
That's funny. We both put Breloom number 2.
And number 1.
Steeny. Yuck.
Turtwig. I'm happy with that.
Turtwig's fine.
I like Turtwig. I like
I had Turtwig in the number 3 slot. I don't know who I would put number 1 given that list.
I think if I were to move everything around, I think Turtwig would still be number 1.
I might bump Morlul up even higher.
Why?
Morlul's bioluminescent. That is such a cool feature.
Okay.
I think it's cool.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do a team of 15 grass.
15 grass, fully evolved. Go. God, I see Abomasnow again. That makes me mad. All right, we got a draft. For those of you that don't know, I'm going to name out all 15 of these Pokemon. We got to draft a team of 6. We got Victreebel, Brute Bonnet, Exeggutor, Abomasnow, Scovelin, Breloom, Sawsbuck, Iron Leaves, Venusaur, Shaymin, Ferrothorn, Bramblegast, Vileplume, Lilligant, and Decidueye. Ready, go.
1, 2, 3. 4.
There's very 5, few good crossovers going on here.
6.
I think I'm going to do something a little cuckoo banana pants here. All right. Ready. Freddy.
I am taking Exeggutor.
No, I don't have Exeggutor.
Okay. Scovelin.
I don't have Scovelin.
Okay. I'm winning. Iron Leaves.
I do have Iron Leaves.
Okay. Venusaur.
I do have Venusaur.
Vileplume.
I do have Vileplume.
Decidueye.
I do have Decidueye.
So who'd you take instead of Scovelin and Exeggutor?
I have Abomasnow and Ferrothorn.
Okay, you lose on all accounts on that. Scovelin learns fire-type moves. It's grass-fire. Ferroseed is steel-grass, double...
Ferrothorn.
Okay, same thing. Double weakness to fire. Same thing.
Abomasnow, obviously gets wrecked by Scovelin.
So you lose on all accounts.
But what I was thinking... I give it to you. I'm not going to defend it. Yes, I lose. But what I was thinking of was wanting a well-rounded party. I should have taken Scovelin, you're right. But I wanted a well-rounded party with multiple typings if I were going to go up against like a real-world battle, not another battle from this list of 6, I guess.
Well, that's why I took Exeggutor, because it learned Psychic.
I took Ferrothorn so that I could have Steel.
And I took Scovelin for the fire reason.
And I took Abomasnow for
the ice reason.
Ice. Yeah.
Well, you made the wrong decisions.
Clearly. But I think if either of us took that battle party into any real world scenario, either battle party, we would get absolutely wrecked.
Oh, 100%.
That's just a horrific, horrific circumstance to be in. 6 grass type? Yuck. All right. Last but not least, we're going to run another random generator of 15 Pokemon of any typing from all gens, fully evolved forms. And we're going to make one more battle party of 6. Here we go. We got Mr. Mime, Hydreigon, Mausholed, Farigiraffe, Zatu, Galissapod, Carnivine, Marshadow, Scrafty, Aggron, Baxcalibur, Steelix, Dialga, Sableye, and Kingler. Out of the 1,000 plus possible Pokemon, this is the shit we got to deal with.
Got it.
I think you do it faster because you get to start thinking about it while I'm naming off all the Pokemon.
I also play the games a lot.
I have to go back and look. Like, I don't even remember the Pokemon that were available.
All right. Well, I also play the games a lot, so I have more strategy based than you are. Like, I know for certain you're taking Scrafty because you just like a little Hawkeye.
Scrafty is not on my list, bub.
And you're taking Family of Four Mousehold.
Also not on my list. Although people love Mousehold for some reason.
I don't get it.
All right, I got my list. I'm taking a weird sixth, but that's okay.
All right, so I will start with Kingler.
I have Kingler.
Dialga.
I have Dialga.
Steelix.
Yep.
Baxcalibur.
Yep. We're going to be down to one-on-one, I bet.
That's four. Who am I? Oh, Hydrogen. Hydrogen. Yep. And Mr. Mime to intimidate everybody and make everybody feel uncomfortable.
I have Sableye.
You win.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, Sableye learns dark moves and Psychic is weak to dark.
So you win. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but I still made everybody uncomfortable with Mr. Mime, and that was my goal.
Yeah,
my goal wasn't to win. It was to make everybody uncomfortable.
In defeat, there is victory in this case.
Exactly.
All right, well, that was good.
Fun stuff.
It was a good ranking.
You poor, poor people have been listening to us for an hour and a half.
People like the long episodes. It's okay. I also think that we lost many people about 45 minutes ago when I started talking about Pitchfork topics.
You lost me when you said AKA whatever the fuck your name was.
I'll tell you in a minute when we close out. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in this week.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Collector, AKA MagSafe.
MagSafe, right. I've been Zach Mo, aka Diabetes.
Like, follow, subscribe, share, tell your grandma about us. Catch you next week. Bye. Oh,
grandma already knows about me. Bye.